I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation today, and I'm going to be reading from Mark 5. Let me begin in prayer. Lord Jesus, this is such an opportunity to approach your word this morning and to look more clearly at the things that you did. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher, that you would bring up the things that we need to think about for our own lives, and that we would appreciate the ministry of Jesus. Please glorify him through these words. Amen. We're in Mark 5, and I'm going to begin reading from the New Living Translation. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with the pain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped up the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. Now, so far, what we see in this first 9 verses is that Jesus has come to the other side of the lake. This follows a storm that was on the lake where they were nearly drowning, and Jesus woke and rebuked the wind and the waves, and the disciples were amazed. Then suddenly now they're at the other side, the eastern side of the lake, in the Gentile section of that land, in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, this man that we see has been wandering, and it gives us this background that he was very troubled, very caught with things he could not control. He hurt himself. This is often what happens with the source of evil. The very person carrying it looks terrible, begins to hurt themselves and those they care for around them. So here's this man, really, one of the words used is he snapped the chains from his wrists. There was great supernatural strength that he was given to do evil things. And he's howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Now, when he sees Jesus, he runs and bows before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, we've seen in the first few chapters that they recognize, the evil recognize Jesus. The demons are fallen angels that were thrown out of heaven with Lucifer. And Lucifer wanted to be God, and therefore he was disqualified and thrown away. And he's the master of evil with great power. He was an angel of light, the head of worship in heaven. And now he is totally at enmity with God. And so his minions, these demons, recognize when the light comes, they are in darkness. They recognize Jesus and they say, "Why are you interfering with us? Why are you getting in the way of what our work is, which is to undo the works of God?" Jesus came to undo the works of Satan. And so we're going to see this really sharp contrast between their power and what their intentions are. Now, then they say, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." And there will come a time, they know there will come a time when their end will be torture. There will be hell for all of Satan and all of his minions that will come to an end. And they're asking, is this now? Don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what's your name? And they say their name is Legion, which means many. All of these many spirits have filled this one man. He's very, very ill. So there happened to be, they begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. Now you need to know that in Israel, it was forbidden to eat pigs. So it was not the kind of business that Jews were in. These are Gentiles, and this was how they made their living. And these pigs were grazing and eating. They were scavengers, and they were, this is how they made their money. So they were called an unclean animal, and they begged Jesus to go into those pigs, and Jesus gave them permission. I'm in verse 13. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Now, when we read scripture, we see it in our minds, but what we sometimes can't imagine is the sound of this. Pigs, when they're frightened, are very loud. If you've ever witnessed, I had grandparents that had a pig, and they would butcher it once a year, and just the fear of the pig knowing it was going to be killed, it would scream and scream and scream. Now, this is 2,000 pigs screaming down the hillside once they're filled with demons and into the lake. It would have been terrifying to the people watching. They plunge into the lake and drown in the water. Here's the other thing. Have you ever heard about a pig going swimming? No, pigs like filth. Pigs like the cool of the mud. They go into dirt. They do not go take baths. So they were crazed, and they ran to the most obvious way to get rid of evil spirits. They ran into the water. They ran to get clean. These spirits were so evil that they affected the pig, and the pig wanted to be clean and ran into the water. So here we have chaos and panic, and the only thing they knew to do was to flee, and they are drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled into the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Now, this is a sad response. In some ways, we think, my goodness, why weren't they glad to see this man who had been crazy in their town now looking sane and dressed and whole? And instead, they're scared. And they're scared because their livelihood is ruined, and that this kind of power in their midst could have this kind of effect. They didn't know what to do with Jesus. They didn't know what to do with this. We often do that too when we see God change someone's lives. Part of us wants to be more like that, and part of us thinks, I'm not sure I want to change. And so there's a push me, pull me when you approach Jesus. And they beg him to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. So this area is called Decapolis, which means 10 towns. And he is now become the emissary of Christ to go and tell of his power and what he's done. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, in verse 21, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter's dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Now, in this part of the story, we see Jesus get off, Jairus come in a panic. He's on his way to heal a dying child. And this woman interrupts by just thinking, if I can just touch his robe, I don't want to get in the way. Now, part of the reason she's doing this is there was a law, a Jewish law, that you could not worship if you were bleeding. And you had to be cleansed, and then you could come and worship. So for 12 years, this woman's been unable to be among the people of faith in worship. And it was a risk. And she thinks, she didn't say to herself, if I can just touch his hand. She knew she couldn't touch him, but she wanted to touch just the hem of his robe. Now, in the hem of the robe that the Jews wore was their identity. They used this for trading. They would press it, the end of the robe, in the wax, and it was like their credit card number. Whatever their name was written in the edge of that robe. So she actually is reaching out for the identity of Jesus when she just reaches for that robe. Now, Jesus feels power go out from him. Even though all of this chaos is around him, people following, a big crowd trying to push through those little streets around him, and he immediately, the Holy Spirit in him was quickened, and he knew that an act of God had happened, that God had moved through him. And so he stops. He wants to know who took this, what it was that he healed. And he looks, he keeps looking. And then she realizes that he knows. And this was a great risk to admit to everybody there that she was bleeding and that she had dared to touch his robe. I mean, he could have rebuked her or made it worse, but she believed him to be good, and he is good. He says, your faith has made you well. Your suffering is over. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. So now we see a couple of things. Jairus, who is desperate to get Jesus there, is interrupted by his servant who comes and says, "Don't bother the master. She's died." And what a horrible thing to hear. So Jesus dismisses that crowd. He does not want a spectacle. This is not a miracle he wants witnessed by many people. He wants to protect this child and the privacy that she needs. And so he takes only his closest three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And often in the Gospels, he will do that with Peter, James, and John. They were kind of what was called the inside circle. And they saw things some of the others did not see. He takes them, and then he says this thing, "Don't fear, just have faith." And we just seen with the woman who was healed of the bleeding, he said, "Your faith healed you." And so he carries the same theme to Jairus, who's witnessed the healing of the woman. "You have faith now." So Jairus takes him. He ignores his servant. He goes with Jesus, and they go into his house. Now, when they get there, there were professional mourners that Jews would pay. When someone died, mourners would come in, and there would be music and sad moaning and crying, and it was a way to comfort the family that everyone was weeping with them at the loss of this person. And Jesus goes in and in a ruse, so to speak, and says, "So why are you here? She's only asleep." And they laugh at him because, of course, she's been validated as dead. The doctor said she's dead. So he made them all leave. He took the girl's father and mother. They go into the room, and he holds her hand. And he speaks, "Little girl, get up." And this girl immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. When people are very ill, we saw this with Peter's mother-in-law when he healed her from a high fever. She immediately got up and cooked a meal for him. When people are recovering, if it had been illness, it takes time from death to get up and immediately walk around the room. They're overwhelmed. And Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. He did not want this to be a public miracle. This was an act of mercy to one family. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Now we can see that if this had become public, what would the life of this little girl have been like in the life of the parents? It would have been a spectacle, something people wanted to talk about. It would have diminished the fact that this was an act of mercy from God to this family. Some things are intended to be private. We don't tell everything. We ask the Lord, what is it that we share? What is it that would benefit others? And some things are just for us. I had a teacher many years ago when I was a young believer, and he told us that. He said, you know, don't tell everything you know. Keep something held back that's just between you and the Lord, something that you know that he did, he knows he did it, and you have blessed him for it, and it belongs in a private relationship. In our closest relationships, we don't tell everything about them to other people. We keep them between us and those people. And that's also our intention with our relationship with God. He is a person. He has related to us, and we have things that he has given to us that are just between him and us. So look at your own life and consider what things may have been mercies he showed to you that don't need to be shared. And then there are those that you do need to share that are part of saying, Jesus can do this for you. He did this for me. But everything does not have to be shared. That concludes Mark 5. Father, we thank you for this lesson, and we pray that you would free us from evil that we have given ourselves into. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, you say, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And Father, we pray that today, that we would be freed from all desire to do that which is bad. And Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would have faith like this woman and like Jairus, that in the difficulties we are facing in our own lives, we would trust you, believe in you to have dominance over them and to bring glory to yourself. Amen.